Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
No 3D November. Stay strong, gamers. Flat games only.
Nice. They're grabbing that.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-boo.
Welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today, Jackson, we got two big things.
That's true. One. We have two huge things for the people and for ourselves.
Two things that the audience is, they're just screaming. They're sitting listening to the podcast. Most podcasts, when you listen
to the podcast. Stop talking about my nuts.
It's Andrew Levins and his huge nuts. Welcome to the show, Andrew Levins.
Wait, what was the melody I sang at the beginning? That was our new intro. I can't remember. That's it. That's the sound of my balls.
That's the sound of your balls knocking together like a Newton's cradle.
And the reason that we've got a new theme is because a new theme song.
And the reason we're talking about nuts in a way
is because this is the first episode of No 3D November.
Yeah, that's
flat
true.
Games only.
Flat games only. No 3D. 3D is bad. It's good. It's got health benefits. It improves your jawline.
Yeah, it's spiritual benefits.
Yeah, exactly.
You got more motivation. Gaming retention is real.
Yeah, that's what we're here to talk about today. That's what we're here. That's why we're doing No 3D November.
As Australia's premier flat earther / flat gamer, I could not be happier to be here today.
And today we're going to be looking at Blasphemous 2 and other games.
Holy moly.
Blasphemous is this game series. Well, it was a game. Now it's a game series because the sequel came out a couple of weeks
ago. Good stuff. Good stuff. That's why you're the best.
It was my game of the year in 2018.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Jackson had to play it, but he said, I already tried playing it and I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, well, how do you think I feel when I have to play all of your games?
Well, that baffles me that you could not like Pod Racer or Turok 2. Couldn't understand.
Are you excited to play Shadow Man this year?
Man of the Cradle of Destiny? What? How could you not be?
Cradle of Destiny? It's just called Shadow Man.
Where am I getting Cradle of Destiny?
I don't know. Those are just gibberish
That's
words.
So good.
I'm making up Shadow Man games.
The Shadow Man games are Shadow Man and then Shadow Man The Second Coming, because the only reason I know the second one's called The Second Coming because that's the game where they got in trouble because they were paying people $10,000 to advertise on their loved one's gravestones.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I've just done some Googling, and the only existence of the words Cradle of Destiny is a Vocaloid J-pop album by someone called Glint of Sound, Kaya, and Shooty.
Have I heard this before at some point? Has it wormed its way into my brain?
Cradle
Glint,
of...
What was it? Glint Man?
Glint of Sound.
Glint of Sound. Well, shout out to Glint of Sound.
No, actually, I should have known this from the get-go. Are you a Venture Brothers fan?
Yes.
Jackson? Okay. One of my favorite shows of all time.
Great show. Incredible.
There is a 2008 episode of the Venture Brothers called Shadow Man 9 in the Cradle of Destiny.
Okay, there it is.
So it was. It turns
but
out it
you
was
could a, forgive me for getting that confused.
It was actually just a deep cut Venture Brothers reference. So, all right, Blasphemous. I played the first game. I really liked it, but I also it I had to approach it twice. The first time I played it, it kind of bounced off me because I was just not good enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I found it like I wasn't good enough, but I didn't find it engaging. I kind of like hit this weird in between where I was like, it's hard and I'm struggling, but I have no desire to get better.
Yeah.
Then I played a few more. I think I also hadn't been playing many like difficult games or even games in a similar style to that prior to Blasphemous.
And this is before you got the medical knowledge that you are, by definition, f***ed in the head.
Yes, I'm Jeffed in the head.
Jeffed in the head. That's right.
Can I just say, as like the father of actual children, children who go to school, mm-hmm. where they might listen to podcasts from time to time.
Yeah. Right.
My kids know the word f**k, and they know that it's an adult word, and they're not allowed to say it, but sometimes other adults say it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Words they don't know include, what did you say last week? Like, jacking my pussy?
I feel like that would have been Jackson that said that.
I could have said jacking my pussy.
Yeah.
Wow, Mario's so awesome, I'm jacking my pussy off. Could have said that, that's true.
I wonder if it was Ruby that said that.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely Jackson.
Okay. Because that's interesting. So the three of us doing a podcast.
Yeah. I'm the one with the least pussy.
I think we come equal last there.
Anyway, all I'm saying is
we should reconsider our rules approaching the new year. What's safe for schools and what's not?
Yeah,
I'll speak to the teaching board and figure out if I can get to the bottom of this.
If we can change the thumb cramps constitution, we'll see.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Constitution aside, schools aside, it's time to talk flat games.
Okay, and, fair enough. Fair
yeah,
enough.
So before my medical diagnosis, mm-hmm. Blasphemous One bounced off me.
Yeah.
Went back to it, I reckon probably close to a year later. And it clicked.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I got stuck and other games came out. So I put it down.
That's the most dangerous thing that can happen to a gamer.
Yeah.
If you get stuck and another game comes out, that's lights out.
It's happened to me many times.
Yeah, me too.
Lots of games have suffered because of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go back. Sometimes I...
Sayonara.
Yeah. Goodbye,
games. Goodbye, games. Yeah.
But with the first Blasphemous, I got probably like 5 or 6 hours in, got to a boss that just kept handing my ass to me.
Okay.
He just said, hey, look at this ass.
And I got an ass for you. That's mine.
Hey.
That's mine.
How'd you get that?
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. Anyway, and then other games came out and I put it down and I was like, I've put it down for too long. I don't remember where I am or what's going on. I'd have to restart it. But Blasphemous 2 came out last week or the week before and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll check it out. Bought it, started it, and immediately I was like, oh, this rocks. I'm in. I'm so in.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I've been playing it too. I'm like, I think 2/3 of the way through it,
yep.
And I cannot believe what a streamlined experience this is compared to the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It has all the charm and like and grossness of the first Blasphemous game, because, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're not familiar with this series, it's extremely influenced by like 1400s era Catholic like horror.
Yeah, which rocks so much.
Yeah.
Love the
Spanish
aesthetic of it.
Spanish Catholic horror.
Yeah.
It's a lot of penance.
Yeah.
You play the penitent one who is a dude with a big cone on your head.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Dan Aykroyd. Although I would be pretty sick if you have to beat the final boss by, what does he hit? He hit something with a golf club or something?
Yeah, what do they do there?
While singing, sometimes I feel I've got to
get
it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Tainted Love is the song.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
I always get Coneheads and Airheads confused, but in Airheads, their heads are regular shape. They're just doofuses.
Yeah, but in Coneheads, they're aliens whose heads are cones.
I wonder if air...
And they're doofuses.
Yeah exactly.
I guess there's a lot of air in there regardless.
What about the movie Earth, Women Are Easy? Remember that movie?
No.
I only watch movies where in the title they describe the head of the characters.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to think of other...
Head-based movies? Yeah. They might be the only two.
I love the show Herman's Head.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
Yeah.
Bride's Head Revisited? Does that count?
I don't know if... there's no woman who gets married that you go inside her head.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Understood.
But if I remade it, then would
Bride's Head Revisited.
Yeah.
So, you start Blasphemous 2 straight off the bat. It's like, hey, pick a weapon, which is different from the first one. The first one, you just start with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, and Jackson, it was really hard. It presented me with three weapon
choices.
Okay,
I'm listening.
regular big sword, which was very reminiscent of the weapon you have in the first game.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So very balanced.
Yeah.
The other one was two daggers. So dual wielding, basically.
Yeah, good stuff.
They're a little longer than daggers, but they were kind of like daggers. They're quick. Yeah. Don't do as much damage, but quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was a huge mace.
Oh, baby.
And the mace is also a head.
Oh, like baby.
It's a statue's head, but it's still a head.
That's the best.
Like a Morningstar. Not like a mace is in, like, it's not a club with a thing
yeah,
on it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A chain. And it took
every ounce of
my being to be like, pick a normal weapon, because unless you practice with each of them.
Yeah.
I was like, I know what this game's going to be like. If I pick the big, slow weapon that's hard to use, it's going to be really hard to get engaged in this game.
Because they're going to be like, there'll be like one opening per boss fight where you can do damage. But the damage you do. Oh, baby.
Jackson, I'm sad to report, I did just pick the regular sword.
I got to play it and pick the hammer, I guess.
The hammer?
I picked the two daggers.
Yeah.
But wait, Joel, how much have you played?
Well, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Then immediately, which I think is a bit different from the first Blasphemous. First of all, it doesn't tell you how to play the game at first. It just immediately puts you against a boss.
Love it.
And then when you beat the boss, it then reteaches you the controls.
Oh, yeah.
The boss fight is a classic Blasphemous boss fight where it's hard, but then there's a clear pattern.
Yeah.
It took me, I died a couple of times on the first encounter in the game because I was like, I forget how to do this. But then I figured it out and then, didn't get hit in
this. Nice.
I mean, you have a sword and a button that presumably moves the sword. I don't understand what you were that confused about.
No, not confused. To finding the rhythm of the game, because you've also got a dodge, and it hasn't told you the dodge button. And I was like, I know there's a parry, but I don't know if I can parry yet. And it just hasn't told me. And then also, you can't parry the big wheel that's being thrown at you anyway.
That's fair.
I was only dying to, like, cheap shots, and then I got used to dodging the cheap shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, killed that guy, learned everything again, was like, oh yeah, that's right, that's how it works. Started the quest, explored a bit, fought some big bosses, every enemy's scary, and then you get presented with a new weapon.
Oh, okay.
It's the big mace.
That's so funny.
It turns out, and the game doesn't tell you this at first, but there's actually like places that you can only explore by using the mace.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's bells that the mace rings, which then makes platforms appear so you can move around different areas, and once you get the second weapon, you can switch between the two you've got.
Oh, that's cool. Are there more weapons later on?
Well, then you keep playing, and then you eventually get the third weapon that you didn't select at first.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah, and here's the thing that you don't need to worry about what Dushi was saying at the beginning about the game being annoying when you use the big mace.
Yeah.
Because I have all three weapons, and by far my most used weapon is the big mace.
Hell yeah.
It's actually
so
pretty
good.
Fast, and it can hit. Not only does it do one big hit, sometimes it does two big hits.
You can charge it up. Also, you can set it on fire.
That's the best feeling. Picking away, it is fun as well, but picking away at a boss's health versus knocking it out in three very specific hits. Oh, man.
Oh, there's no three specific hits in Blasphemous. It's like you're still chipping away at it, regardless of how powerful your weapon is.
Yeah.
It's very much like, pattern recognition, but the phases of each boss is just so delightful. They're so much fun. Have you found the blacksmith boss yet, Dusha?
No, I'm still pretty early in the game. I was going to say I've only probably put like 2 hours in.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to play it more, but a bit of behind the scenes news. Would have had more time to play the game, but my laptop broke, which I'm not playing it on.
Yeah.
But my laptop breaking meant that all the work that I had needed to do this week all of a sudden got way harder to do than...
trying to do it on your GameCube.
Yeah. Oh, editing software on the GameCube stinks.
Analog sticks do not make it easy.
Yeah. Neither the Donkey Kong is.
Do it with the Donkey.
Dance Revolution map will make this easier.
And then I'm like on trying to figure out how to buy it from my phone so I can plug it into my GameCube so I can send emails using the Dance Dance Revolution map, realizing the Dance Dance Revolution map for the GameCube is one of the rarest accessories. Being like, oh,
it's
how
so
am I going to $400?
Just to send an email.
Well, I guess I got it.
I knew I should have gotten the U-Draw tablet for my Nintendo Wii.
Quick side note with the U-Draw tablet. That is one of the funniest decisions that a company's ever made. Of Ubisoft being like, I think it was Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Yep.
being like, we'll put all of our money into UDraw because it's been such a huge success for the Wii, and we're going to port it to the Xbox and the PlayStation, and then sold like
8 copies or whatever.
Something so disgusting, and they had to fire heaps of people.
No.
But then Nintendo released a console that has a tablet.
Yeah.
And you would think they'd be like, you know what? It's kind of going to be very easy just to port the game without the peripheral to Wii U, but they just not.
Have 2 tablets, idiot.
Also, the Nintendo console that had a tablet also probably resulted in a bunch of people getting fired.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No, they don't fire people in Japan.
You quit out of shame, and then you are never seen again.
So, Blair, Blasphemous 2, you've played 2 hours,
yeah,
which is because that's what it stands for, Blasphemous 2 Hours.
Yeah.
But there's a boss in it called, I don't know what he's called, but he's a blacksmith, and when you find him, he's just like sharpening a blade. And like he doesn't like pose a threat to you, but then you just go and hit him with your mace, and the fight starts. And he has 3 phases, but in the between each phase, he like jumps to the back of the screen, and then just starts throwing swords at you until he finds the sword he was looking for. Then comes back, and you've got to fight him with a more powerful sword. And he has like panpipes over his face, like a mask, so he telegraphs all of his moves with like this. Like Pam Pelly.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's so good. It has such great atmosphere. His moves are so fun. It was very satisfying beating him. Excellent. Probably my favorite boss fight of the year. Second is, I don't know if you've, fought the boss, which is actually 2 guys in Blasphemous 2 yet?
No.
That's what Blasphemous 2 stands for. Blasphemous 2 guys.
The 2 guys. 2 guys, 2 hours.
It's a multi-use title.
There's like you fight this dude who's like basically like beating the heck out of you with a coffin. Once you take, I was surprised on my first attempt at getting him down. I beat him, but then he falls on the ground, and then this little freak bursts out of the coffin, and you've got to take down the little freak.
Oh,
and I did. Sick. I had like a slither of health left. And I was like, wow, I can't believe I beat this 2-phase battle. And then they both rose back up and you have to fight both of them at once.
Oh,
that took me many, many tries. But another fantastic moment in
that's
games
so
for
cool.
2023.
Every boss fight in this is very much like a white knuckle experience. Like you're just sitting there being like getting sweaty.
Yeah, I chose the 2 little swords, little daggers, because it reminded me of the nail from Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been chasing that, like, you know, perfect feeling Metroidvania for a while. I think Metroid Dread is definitely, like, the most perfect since Hollow Knight. This is definitely up there. The map reminds me a lot of Castlevania Symphony of the Night, but it's very elegant in its design, and it just links back to itself. So you're like, oh wow, how'd they do that? Which is extremely satisfying.
One thing it does,
Jackson, I think you'd love it.
I should give it a go. I should get back into it.
Truly,
it's definitely
wild
better than the first
you don't
game.
Love this game.
Yeah.
Because it has like a really complicated and stupid lore.
Yeah.
But the game lets you just totally disengage
Breeze
from
past
that.
It. Yeah, I know.
And it's so convoluted that it's almost like the game doesn't really need you to, especially because it's like super religious, but super like everyone has shame and should be paying penance and.
Yeah, I think Jackson even watched the cutscenes in this because they're all delivered with this like pained Spanish accented voice, like, oh, penitent one, please give me your mercy. Like, you're like, yeah,
that does sound good. Well, maybe. Hey, maybe I'll review it next week.
Maybe. I don't remember the first one had this, but yeah, it's cool having like the fully animated cutscenes in between.
And yeah, it was pixel art last game, and apparently making them full anime style, way cheaper.
Fair enough.
They saved on money by doing all the cutscenes in anime.
That's
so funny.
Wild, but yeah, I guess that sort of makes sense. There's a lot more anime studios than there are pixel art studios.
The one big complaint that I've seen from people is that the gory executions that you would be able to do after doing a few perfect parries or like getting enemies down to a certain amount of health in the first game, there's a lot less of them this game. Like, you know, again, it's just pixel art animation takes a lot of time.
Yeah, for sure. And that doesn't feel like it's going to completely like detract from the overall experience. It's just like a thing.
Do you want Blasphemous 2 to come out in 2023 or 2025? It's up to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then also, if you go too hard with it, Australia sometimes steps in and say, "Oh, actually, you can't play this game.
Not for you."
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you get to save 1 second of your life while watching Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thumbcramps hasn't touched on this because I don't know why would we? But
you're waiting for the Switch port.
Yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon, the new Scorsese film, was censored by one second in Australia.
That rocks. What was censored?
Gore. It was a bit of violence.
1 second of violence.
Oh, yeah, 1 second of gore, yeah.
It's pretty much an autopsy scene, I think, that was censored.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I think we'll be able to watch the regular version on Netflix. They just wanted to make sure it was in cinemas with an M rating instead of an MA one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, although, sometimes censorship, and this is just a side note, because movies are censored way more often than you think. John Wick 3 was censored in cinemas in Australia. John Wick 2, however, was censored on Netflix in Australia, but the uncensored version was in the cinema.
Huh.
Interesting. The more you know.
Yeah, because John Wick 2, it's the naked suicide scene. In Australia, we were like, that's fine. That's like part of our MA 15+ rating.
Chuck it in.
But the British audiences were like, oh no.
Crikey.
Titty. It was the nakedness that got it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's censored, although a quicker cut when it went online. And in John Wick 3, a knife goes into a guy's eye, and Australia was like, that's an R18 rating here. And England were like, we don't care.
Blimey.
Blimey, I had it coming, eh? Anyway, ratings and censorship, usually very stupid. Blasphemous 2, it rocks. I'm having a really good time. The more I talk about it, the more I just want to play it.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, so if I just leave halfway through the podcast, that's what I've got to do.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and when it comes to No 3D November, flat games only.
Yeah.
Really strong start.
Really strong, flat game.
I'm not even thinking about 3D games.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, dude, I'm glad. And it's only going to get easier.
Yeah, the first 7 days of no 3D November, it's going to fly by.
Can you rate this game, obviously regular thumb score, but also how flat it is?
How flat? I'm gonna give it 5 thumbs.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Wow. That's
how
good.
Flat it is.
How flat's blasphemous? Blasphemous.
Flatphemous.
Flatphemous.
how flat is flatphemous, dude?
Blasphemous too. It probably could be a bit flatter, but it is pretty flat. And the fact that the cutscenes are anime, which is also flat.
Yeah, that's flat. That's flat as hell.
That is flat. Although the first one is flatter.
Blasphemous 1 flatter than Blasphemous 2.
Yeah, Blasphemous 2 better than Blasphemous 1, but Blasphemous 1 definitely
more flat.
Flatter.
Interesting.
So I think the flat score, I'm going to probably give it 4 flats.
Okay, 4 flats?
four flats, but 5 thumbs.
Okay, 4 flats, 5 thumbs.
Yeah, and the more I play it, it could bump
it
up
could
to 6.
It could get flatter?
No, it won't get flatter, but it could bump up to 6 thumbs. Okay. I could consider maybe putting it on my short list of games to consider for Game of the Year.
That's crazy.
It won't get Game of the Year. I finished Tears of the Kingdom, and it's definitely going to be that.
Yeah, but that's fair.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Anyway, Jackson, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a little game called Dome Keeper that I... funny name. That I...
Dude, I love when she keep the dome.
She keeping my dome. She keeping my dome. So this is a game I played a demo of. And then I was like, oh, I need a flat game for No 3D November.
Yep.
And I was like, where's that demo? But it was gone.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. It just left my Steam. So I got it properly.
Was it part of Steam Next Fest?
I don't know.
You don't know much, do you?
No, this game came out last year.
Huh.
I don't know where my Dome Keeper demo went, but it disappeared. So I got the full game. I liked the demo enough. I was like, it's worth it. So it's a tower defense... kind of roguelite, I guess. Roguelike. So you have this little dome that you're
an alien.
Yeah. No. This is the danger of reviewing something with dome in the title.
Yeah,
so I got
dude.
A tiny dome that satisfies no one. And I'm living in the dome.
Yeah.
And underneath the dome is...
two knots?
Two fat knots. Anyway, is the earth, obviously. But periodically, my dome will get attacked by aliens, which are like these various shadowy little monsters.
Yep.
And I need to, the sort of loop of the game is that you go underground, you drill down through like the various layers of rock, collect resources, and then you've got to fly them. You get a little jetpack. You fly them back up to your dome. And then you can...
your dome better?
You make your dome better, or you can improve, you know, other stuff around the dome or whatever. But you have to basically... So the loop is like, go underground, go mining, collect enough stuff, and then get back to your dome in time to defend it against sort of whatever's coming.
Yep.
So it's a pretty simple gameplay loop, but it was, yeah, really like kind of satisfying and fun and tense. Like when you're quite deep underground because you've already mined out everything else in your mine, and you're down there looking through the scraps, and then you get that little warning like, oh crap, your dome's being attacked.
Yeah.
Flying back up.
Check your dome, brother.
Check your dome. But it's cool as well because, so one of the things is that when you mine, say, a block, and in that block is a bunch of gold, the way they'll appear on the screen is as like little gold cubes.
Yeah.
You press spacebar or whatever, and you collect them on like tethers, mm-hmm. and then you have to fly them back up to the top of the dome. But the more things you attach to yourself, the slower you are. So there's a kind of like, oh man, I need to get all of this back up to my dome so that I can improve it, or I can improve my abilities or whatever. But also I'm going so slowly and my dome's being attacked.
Yeah.
So I like that. I thought that was cool. It was a fun kind of decision to make whilst I was playing.
Did you, at any point whilst playing Dome Keeper, did you think about the fact that the game you're playing had the same initials as Donkey Kong?
No. But I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah, so the DK rap could be the Dome Keeper.
It could be about
rap.
Dome Keeper. Dome
DK,
Keeper.
DK, DK Dome,
Dome
Keeper.
Keeper. Yeah, they could make a game Dome Keeper Country if they wanted
make
to.
Dome Keeper Country.
Or they could make a game where you have to go back in Donkey Kong to defend him. Like maybe you play
your donkey's
no,
under it.
You
that.
Play like an ant.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Donkey Kong's sitting on like an ant hill and stuff. Uh-huh. But he's also, I don't know, for some reason he's paralyzed. So you need to go into Donkey Kong.
What if GoldenEye, you go back and play GoldenEye and you put on DK mode, but it's Dome Keeper mode?
Whoa!
James Bond's got to protect his dome.
He's got DK mode does give him a big dome.
That's true. He gets a huge dome. That's true. And he's got a pretty famous dome in both senses, old James Bond. You know, tell you what. He's got a famous penis. He's
yeah.
He is a movie star or movie character.
He is a movie character.
With a famous... A wiener.
I don't know if his dick is famous.
Well, he famously makes love to a great many women.
Yeah, that is true.
So, in a way.
I don't know. I think that if someone's notorious for having heaps of sex, you don't say they've got a famous dick.
They don't, yeah, because they just want to meet the dick. They don't necessarily want to do anything with or to it.
Yeah.
They just want to get its autograph.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I think jury's out on that one. So along with just collecting resources and bringing them back to your dome, and this is the kind of roguelike element of it, is buried underneath your dome are these...
You've said dome so many times.
It's a dome. sort of like you can dig out a space that'll have like a... It's just like a big kind of square covered in like a digital sort of whatever. Mm. You bring that up and you get back to your dome and you get an upgrade. The upgrade I got that I've kept through a lot of my playthroughs was a little dog with a drill for a face.
Hell yeah.
Called Drillbit, I think.
Drillbit Taylor? Owen Wilson?
Yeah, Owen Wilson.
Wow.
No, but and so this dog just stays underground and mines for you, but he gets sleepy. And so every time you come back from defending your dome, you have to wake him up and get him drilling again.
Yeah.
But then something that I guess this is... not that amazing, but it was cool to see is that so you can upgrade your dome, you can upgrade yourself, you can upgrade your laser that you use to defend your dome. But the moment I got the dog, I got a whole skill tree for the dog that I could upgrade,
yeah.
Which was nice. And then I got another upgrade that I found was like a stun gun
yeah.
that was added to my dome so that it would stun enemies while I was trying to defend it. So I liked that. I thought that was fun. And there was enough kind of crunch to... what you needed to do and how you needed to defend your dome, because it's obviously it's like a semicircle and you have a laser that you can move on the parabola of the semicircle.
Mm-hmm.
But when you added like that stun gun, it was like, well, I know that stun gun's stunning an enemy over there. I can deal with this problem here. And
yep.
I don't know. I thought that was good. I liked that a lot. Yeah, it's a very simple game, but very cute and fun. And it feels like there's a lot to it that I've yet to truly uncover. And it's flat as hell, baby.
Yes!
It's a flat game. It is...
So, how many thumbs?
I'm going to say probably like 4 thumbs.
Yeah.
Like, it's the kind of game you could just chuck a podcast on and just kind of like mellow out to.
Yeah. And how flat is it?
Well...
How many flats out of 5?
I was going to say 5 flats out of 5, but then thinking about it now, when you're underground...
Could be flatter?
Well, because, like, you're clearly meant to be on a 3D plane.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Even though it is all 2D... Don't worry, I haven't busted yet, but it's all 2D.
Day one would be a rough time to bust.
But it's all 2D, but it seems like, I don't know, you're in a 3D space, and it's pretty obvious that they're trying to imitate, they're trying to emulate that visual.
Yeah.
So I'm actually probably going to say it's 3 flats and a half flat.
3 flats and a half flat out of 5 flats.
Yeah, yeah.
And also just quickly, third specific question just for you.
Yeah.
So you were talking about Drill Bit. I mentioned Drill Bit Taylor. Do you know what that movie's about? It's a funny titled movie.
I don't know if I'm getting confused with another movie. Is it something like some kids have a bully and they
hire Drill Bit Taylor
to beat the shit out of their bully?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I can tell you that Photograph, the Weezer song, is in the end credits and it came out in 2007. I don't know why I know those two things.
Okay.
Don't know what the movie's about.
I think that's what Drill Bit Taylor's about.
Yeah. Drill Bit Taylor is a bodyguard, right?
I think so. But, like, not very good at it. Like, that's the joke. Like, he's a bodyguard, but he's sort of... It's Will Forte, yeah?
No, it's Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. Will Forte is MacGruber.
Yeah, Will Forte is MacGruber.
Is this the plot of MacGruber, we're saying?
No, the plot of MacGruber is...
MacGruber's way better than Drill Bit Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah, MacGruber rocks. He keeps threatening to... His villain's name's Van Kunth.
That is funny.
Yeah, not a swear word, so I can say it.
You can say cunt all you like, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 5 thumbs for... No, not 5 thumbs. 4 thumbs for Domekeeper and...
Domekeeper Taylor.
For Domekeeper Taylor. How flat's Domekeeper Taylor?
Five flats. I think Drill Bit Taylor, unfortunately, is only 1 flat.
Oh, that's sad. Still a bit flat.
Yeah. Well, on the post is flat.
What's the flattest part of the human body?
Owen Wilson's kind of got like a flat nose.
Yeah, true. Forehead's pretty flat.
No, it's like the bumpiest thing in the universe. What are you talking
about?
Doesn't he have like the broken nose kind of thing where he's got the like,
yeah, which means there's like a flat bit.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah, sort of.
I guess the bottom of your foot's pretty flat.
Not really. It's bumpier than
well, if you're flat-footed, it is.
Oh, if you're flat-footed. Yeah, my brother's like that. Yeah. He's got full hobbit feet. They're just like, he's like he's walking around in snowshoes. Not me. I have beautiful dancer's feet.
Gamer's feet.
I got gamer's feet for twirling and pirouetting.
Yeah, bad case of gamer feet.
No. Yeah. You know what? Gamer foot.
What's the flattest part of the human body to you, then?
I don't know. That's why I was asking. The ass cheek?
No.
But like in the middle?
Oh, the inside, the ass crack.
Ass crack's pretty flat.
Ass crack.
That's true, it's
flat.
Like a cliff. Yeah, okay. All right.
It's got you thinking.
Really
about your favorite thing to think about.
I do love thinking about crack. In brackets, ass.
Oh. In brackets, Jamoan movie.
The crack. What's the crack?
What's the crack?
He drank that Guinness wrong. He's got stuff on his nose.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, Levis, what have you been playing?
Quick question. Is Mario Wonder a 2D, a flat game? Because it is a 2D platformer.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. It's no 3D November. 2.5D.
Not 3D.
Isn't 3D. So
it will obviously be penalized on the how many flats out of 5 flats.
Yeah, it's going to lose points in the flat category.
Look, I have an extremely flat game that I can talk about, but it's a Playdate game that will not appeal to many of your listeners.
No, that's okay. Niche games are exciting because that means that when we post about the episode, usually whatever the niche games creator will, it'll just... they'll get like a Google alert.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then some poor indie company will listen to Thumb Cramps by hearing a review of their game, and we've mostly spent it talking about how flat's an ass crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I'll talk about the indie game then. Super Mario Wonder is
Miyamoto's.
One of the best games of the year. So much fun. My kids have COVID at the moment, and we're just ignoring all responsibilities.
Yep.
And we'll be finished that game by tomorrow.
Oh, hell yeah.
Excellent time. But let's talk about a very flat game I would say the flattest console on the market right now, and that is the Playdate.
Whoa.
That's true.
This console, I've had it for over a year. I think it came out maybe 18 months ago, but because of development and like you know, manufacturing issues, this, like, I don't know, I feel like there's like 2,000 people in the world that have a play date.
Whoa.
And you're one of them.
You're one of them.
I am one of the lucky few. And I still play it from time to time. My kind of like favorite experiences on it are like little throwback adventure games, and that is exactly what Resonant Tale is.
Ooh.
Do you guys have a favorite Zelda game?
Minish Cap.
Oh. I don't know. Majora's Mask is probably mine, which isn't an exciting answer.
What if instead of those Link to the Past, you said Link's Awakening?
Link's Awakening.
Oh, cool. I do love Link's Awakening. Great game.
Yeah, I love Winx and Link.
Link's Awakening.
Resident Tale is extremely reminiscent of that. In fact, you play as someone called Leet, like L-E-I-T.
Okay.
You wake up on a mysterious island with no memories, which is exactly what happens to Link at the start of his awakening. Basically you have to go and wake up a bunch of shrines or whatever, and you know, you get the diamondy parts and you get little weapon upgrades, that kind of thing, as you visit different parts of the map. And this is like a real pocket size Zelda tale. I've played about an hour, and I'm like, I reckon another hour and I'll be done. I don't know if you guys have laid eyes on a playdate.
I've seen yours.
It's a pretty small small screen. It only does black and white and monochromatic black and white at that.
Yep.
So you are limited in terms of what you can do with the system for a platformer game or a Zelda-like. But these guys have done a really, really great job developing it. I think it's just made by one person. We can figure that out.
Yeah,
Orange Thief
that.
Is the developer. It was like $5. Okay, it's developed by... 4 to 5-ish dudes. Scott Hall seems to be the main developer behind it, but okay. It has an excellent soundtrack by Rupert Cole as well. One of the best workarounds they've done is that you just always have your sword out once you get it.
Oh yeah,
and you just bop into stuff and it automatically attacks.
Oh, that's great.
Oh yeah, that's smart.
Like, yeah. Mostly it's like for environmental hazards, but they've kind of come up with all these other great ways to like have boss fights where like you have to only attack the right things as opposed to just like wildly swinging your sword about on an enemy's weak spot.
That's mad.
Then there's like fun puzzles where it's like environmental puzzles, and like the dungeons are really fun. It has that, like, you know, everyone is a fucking maniac that you speak to that only speaks riddles.
Does it incorporate the crank at all?
No, not yet. But sometimes they'll hit you with a bit of crank action, like in the last 15. You know,
nice.
Look, this is overall thoughts on owning a playdate for over a year, but this is made completely independently from Panic, the studio that released the playdate.
Yeah.
Yep.
When this console came out, they did a thing where every week for the first 12 weeks, you get two games.
Yep. Yeah.
And since that initial 24, they haven't released anything properly as published by Panic.
Mm.
They do have an eShop, which is called Catalog.
Oh, yeah.
And every few weeks or months, they'll put a bunch of new, completely independently developed and published games up on their eShop. But I don't know. It feels like that, you know, obviously the amount of people that own a Playdate is probably a lot smaller than they initially envisioned. It feels like they've kind of squandered the love for this console, which is a bit of a bummer. But there is an amazing indie scene of not just people developing games for it, but there are fun Discords just dedicated to like talking about and finding new games on the Playdate. And that's kind of made me feel like a bit, like, better about my purchase.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Like, they announced, like, a dock, for example. Like, this cool dock that not only, like, you know, was a cradle for your Playdate to charge in, but also you're going to get, like, a radio station app, and it would have a speaker, and you could play, like, a streaming radio.
Yeah.
It was, like, a City Pop-inspired, like, 8-bit station through the Playdate. And that's so appealing to me, but that there's no word of when that's coming out.
Yeah, and or if it's
still just
will.
Not very transparent in their messaging. Like, they did, Panic did like a big PAX showcase earlier in the year and had to make a disclaimer, like, oh, nothing to do with the the playdate will be in here. And it's like, why not? I have a playdate. What are you doing with this thing next?
It's a beloved console. Like, even if it's not, it's got such a dedicated sort of like user base, even if it's not gigantic.
And all I want
is, like, you know, hour-long experiences. I feel like they could get some pretty big names to make small games for it, you know?
For sure.
And the dude who made, what's that detective game that everyone loved from a few years ago?
Detective Pikachu.
Deadly Premonition.
Oberdin. Return to Oberdin. He's making something.
Oh, that's cool.
But beyond that, we don't really know anything coming up, which is pretty frustrating.
Yeah, and they called those first 24 games Season 1 or something, didn't they?
Season 1, exactly, which implies there's going to be a second one.
Yeah.
Where is it? Where's Season 2? Yeah.
Yeah, unless they're, like, still, because I know that they're still struggling to get out pre-orders, and the fact that there's, like, 30 guys on Earth that have one, but they, I feel like they sold a shit ton, so I would have thought they would have been excited to just, like, pump out more, or are they not going to announce Season 2 until the pre-orders are filled so that people stop annoying them?
It's a good few tens of thousands of units that have been out so far, like, at least over 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I made some videos about the Playdate when mine arrived on my TikTok account, and a lot of the videos got like one of them got 3 million views.
Yeah.
And most of the other ones, like, you know, giving little impressions on each game or like talking about the catalog announcement, got a few hundred thousand views. So people are interested in this little machine, and I just hope they're not just going to ignore it for the rest of their lives. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that this game's at least good, though.
Yeah,
Resident Tale is really good, and last week, for some reason, all my videos from last year just got pumped up in everyone's algorithm again for 2 weeks, and I was like, maybe I should make another Playdate video. So I bought a bunch of new games, and really, really excited to go through them all. But Resident Tale is exactly the kind of game that I love to play on this console, and hopefully, I'll get a few more of them before the year is over.
Rock and roll. How many thumbs? And how flat is it?
I'm going to give this a nice, like a solid 3 thumbs.
Yeah, nice. Yep. That's good.
Like a respectable 3 thumbs and five flats out of
5. 5 flats.
Does not get flatter than
that. That's flat.
It's an extremely flat isometric view game.
Ooh.
I had a look at some screenshots while Levins was talking about it. It's flat.
Can you show me?
Yeah, well, I just closed it to... Well,
show me. Okay.
No,
okay.
Do it, dude.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't deserve it.
My phone is right next to me, but...
No, it's fine.
Getting me on here, making fun of my nuts.
Hey, Jackson, if you wanted to look it up, and this is a little fun game we can play.
Yeah.
What would be the name of the game you're looking up?
Resident Tales?
Oh, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it. Right at the end, you've messed it up.
Resident Tale?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, come on. Tales v. Tale. Relax.
I'm so relaxed. I'm actually shocked you got that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad you're paying attention.
Yeah.
See? Flat.
Oh, baby, that's flat.
Baby, I hear the flatness calling.
Flat as heck. But, like, look, if any indie devs are listening and they would like to make a cool little adventure game, I think Playdate is such a sick platform for that.
Absolutely.
Like, honestly, if I could play like a 1 hour Link's Awakening-esque title a week, I would. That's like a dream scenario for me. Like, oh, another little freak just woke up on an island and Levin's here for it.
If any indie video game developers are listening, and I know that a bunch do listen,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Step one, you got to make a game for Playdate.
Yeah.
Step two, you got to put me and Jackson in it.
Us in it.
Step three, you got to give it to Levins for free in exchange for a TikTok video.
Yeah, that's the 3-step plan to success.
And step four, don't be upset when I work out that the game's actually all a dream. Because I've played a few Link's Awakenings before, my friend.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Hey, Jackson.
Yeah, someone's at the door. I'm just going to let them in.
Yeah. Wow, we got to oil that door.
That door's so creaky. Hey, everybody, it's me, Mr. Ads.
Hey, Mr. Ads.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Ads? What could you possibly be here for today?
Well, obviously ads.
Oh.
Come on.
I thought you were going to review a game.
Why don't you ever review a game? Yeah,
I can't play video games.
Why?
They've got a doctor's note.
What about flat ones?
Doctor says if I look at a video game for too long, I'll get sick in my eyes.
Yeah.
Can you review the doctor's note?
Yeah, it's bad handwriting, and it's embarrassing. So,
how many thumbs?
What do you do it out of? Out of thumbs? Yeah, one thumb.
And how flat is it, though? Out of five flats?
Well, it's a piece of paper, so it's flat as hell. Five flats.
Five flats. Thanks, Mr.
Five flats for my doctor's note. Yeah, he says my eyes will get really sick, like conjunctivitis, but worse if I even see Mario. So, can't be done. All right, here's the ads. I'm going to go. Goodbye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
See you, Mr. Ads.
Bye, Mr. Ads. It's sad he's sick and can't play video games.
I don't believe that. I think he's telling a lie.
Pretty crazy. I just got an email saying that they had a sex dream about Mr. Ads.
Well, that's so funny you're getting an email, Lemons, because this is actually the part of the show where I read out emails from the Thumbcramps listeners.
Holy mackerel.
If you email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, I'll see him and I'll read them out.
I'll see him.
I'll see him.
Joel's going to look at him.
Don't worry. We'll peep him.
Straight off.
That's never good.
Straight off the bat.
Yeah.
And I think that this is probably a good one to start with because this email, it's one we haven't had, the type of email we haven't had in a...
Doing this segment of your podcast, I think, is the lowest point of my life every time I do it.
Well, you're going to like this because it's not anything. It's just rude to the host.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Subject of the email, cowards.
Oh.
And then it's just an ifunny.co picture that's a picture of Dewey from Malcolm in the Middle with purple drank, gold chains, and gold guns and stacks of money. And it says, everybody talking about Nintendo Switch 2 this, Nintendo Switch 2 that. Maybe you should Nintendo Switch 2 getting some bitches.
And somehow that's the best email you've gotten all year.
That's somebody who... Yeah, they've got our number.
Yeah.
Far out. That's awesome. More emails like that, please.
Well, here's another shocking email. This one is not sarcastic praise of the podcast.
What the hell?
So this is from Jen.
Okay.
Hello, Thumbers and fluorescent guests.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know that months and months ago, I heard about Untitled Goose Game from you guys, and my husband and I played it together and had a grand old time. I've been a delighted listener of your podcast ever since. I'm not a bigger gamer myself, but I do truly enjoy hearing about them from y'all. Cheers, Jen. And the subject was, yes, Thumb Cramps, you are doing a good thing.
That's crazy, Jen.
That's nice.
This has been a normal...
I'll give you a nice reply for you, Jen. If you liked Untitled Goose Game, especially the music and the thought of playing an Australian-made video game made you feel warm inside, they just released... the complete collection of the Frog Detective games.
Oh, hell yeah.
On Nintendo Switch. Same composer, Dan Golding, made the music for that game too. He did Untitled Goose Game and Made in Australia. So pick that up.
Frog Check Detective. It out.
There's no dedicated honk button, but you're a frog detective.
Still.
Yeah.
The fact that you're a detective and a frog surely makes up for the lack of honk button. You can honk yourself.
You can mod and then it we've got- to add a honk button.
Would it be a ribbit button or would you keep it as a honk?
I think every game should come with a dedicated honk button.
Yeah.
Mario, you should be going honk. I think.
And everyone just is genuinely upset by the fact that the character is able to make that
sound.
Yeah,
they're scared.
Let's-a go! Honk!
Mario.
Please.
Please stop honking.
This is from a coward. So let's see that coward alarm.
Coward.
They did sign off a coward because I like to hear the alert. So,
okay,
hey.
Well, that's for you, coward.
Yeah. So a coward says, "Hi, video game boyfriends and gamer guests." And then they ask two very normal questions.
Okay.
And I think that we've broken our emailers' brains by being like, send us normal emails.
We've just got normal ones.
Yeah, but they're like weird normal where they've thought too long about them.
Oh, no, it's become too normal.
Question one. Do you take notes so you remember what to mention in your reviewing? I'm sure I know the answer. I feel stupid just asking. Well, our coward... In the first, like, five episodes of Thumb Cramps when the podcast sucked shit. Yeah, we did have
notes. I remember writing down notes on a piece of being like, this is how I got to review a game. Got to talk about all the elements of it.
And guess what? It stunk.
It was bad. It was boring to listen to.
So, no notes now.
No notes. Perfect.
No notes. It's better. It's better this way. The second question. How long does it take you to settle on a month's theme? Have you pitched stupider munch themes you haven't used? Have you pitched smarter themes that you decided was too smart for you guys? Well, here's how we think about a theme for the month. We look at the month of the year and we think about what the video game theme is for that month because they're not made up of Thumb Cramps.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just game of months.
One theme, though, that we considered but never happened. And I almost feel bad mentioning it because maybe we were going to do it down the track is Rocktober.
Oh, yeah.
We played rock-themed games. But I found we decided not to do it, but it was a sort of non-starter. But I did download one rock theme game called Rock Simulator that made my computer run really fast. And then I looked in the comments on Steam, and people were like, "I think this game's mining Bitcoin."
So, that's awesome.
So that's one theme that nearly happened.
Yeah, because it was Rocktober. It was going to be rock games / games that rock. So yeah. You're going to review rock games, and I was going to play Guitar Hero.
Yeah, that was the plan for the month.
There you go. That's I think the only.
But then we did.
Idea.
What did we do?
I think you should do that, but in March.
Yeah. Rocktober March. Yeah. It's awesome to think that we didn't do that, but we did Adaptober instead. Well, we're beholden to whatever the month actually is.
Yeah.
So it was Adaptober. So there's nothing we could
do. Yeah. Nintendo sent us a calendar of 2023, and every month has the theme. So
exactly.
We just go through it. It was weird they have placed April on a Nintendo calendar.
That's good. But if you're listening to a video game podcast, video game YouTuber, and they don't do the months, they get them, they know about them, they just don't do them. It's sickening to me.
Just before we end the email section of the episode, we just got one email from a listener that's confusing, and then one email where it's pretty standard Thumb Cramps affair.
Okay.
So we've got, and we've had this person email in before.
Okay.
This is
what you should do is one email policy. Like, you just block their email accounts.
Once you get the email out.
No, Levins, because follow-up emails are often far more confusing and baffling.
I listen to the podcast and you're wrong.
Well, this is from a smoker.
Okay.
As in, like, Ahsoka, but a smoker.
Right.
And you may remember them from, like, 6 months ago, and their profile picture on Gmail is Ahsoka with a huge doobie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So a smoker is currently tripping... Just no subject.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently imagining Jackson without a beard. My tripping has taken a turn for the worse.
Yeah, that's... You want to just turn your trip instantly? Think about me without a beard.
And then they...
It's a bad look.
They replied again, and they had done that trick in Just Cause 2 that you really wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
Where they'd grapple hooked their car to the underside of a bridge
so
and swallow
awesome.
It. And then they sent a video of that, obviously.
Yeah.
I can show you this outside of recording, but listeners, too bad.
That rocks.
Anyway, to bring this part home.
Yeah.
And this is from someone that's emailed us a couple of weeks ago. And look, they're an email you love hearing from, Jackson. But
okay.
A couple of weeks ago, it took a turn for a bit, but it's taken a turn back.
Okay, nice.
So this is from the nuclear family, the Culvers.
Oh, I love the Culvers. Big fan.
To my video game boyfriends and effervescent guests. Subject, getting my eyes lasered. Next Thursday, when the episode drops here in Canada, I'm getting my eyes lasered.
Uh-oh.
It's my goal to hopefully listen to the podcast during surgery, but if they won't let me, I'll certainly be listening during recovery. Either way, thanks for being there for me. All our love and devotion, nuclear family, the Culvers. Hey, the Culvers...
What if they laser your eyes wrong? Well, you've got the podcast playing. I guess you'd have headphones in. I was imagining you're playing it on like a speaker somewhere.
Yeah, the laser tech isn't going to be like, what did they say? Trying to shoot the AirPods out of your ears. We've got to stop this.
Yeah, that's scary.
We're doctors. We're meant to make it healthy. And this podcast is wrecking their life.
Too many buffoons that I'm hearing right now.
So yeah, if you want to send us an email, hit us up at thumbcramspod.
Wait, can I add to that email?
Yeah.
Because I watched a middling cartoon while I had a vasectomy.
Yeah,
yeah, that rocks.
And I was like midway through, like going, huh, pretty funny, I guess. And then I realized I could smell my scrotum being burned back together.
Whoa,
that is good. I have heard that the worst part of a vasectomy is the smell and like the sounds.
What was it? Was the smell? What did it smell like?
Like
burning skin
flesh.
Or burning hair?
Burning hair. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I had to shave.
Yeah.
Dead to nothing. So there was no hair involved.
Yeah, fair enough. To the bone. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get in contact with the show, email isn't the only way you can do it.
That's true.
In fact, this is something we also demand, which is, mm-hmm. and we don't ask much of you listeners.
Yeah.
We just ask that you open whatever you're listening, the podcast app of your choice. Mm-hmm. However,
carrier
pigeon.
He's talking about carrier pigeons.
Yeah. Talking about everything.
Yeah.
And you just open the reviews section, and you're just gonna want to write a 5-star review for Thumb Cramps. Yep.
That's all we ask. And you get all this for free.
You get Thumb Cramps for free, provided that you do a 5-star review.
Everyone else owes us.
Yeah.
If you've not done the review, you owe us.
And obviously, some platforms like Spotify, you can't write a review, but please still hit 5 stars.
Yes, please.
You like it when we go to places we shouldn't be because people think we're prestigious? Your 5-star reviews help.
That's what makes that happen.
This week, we got a couple of reviews. This one has given us 5 stars.
Nice.
Subject to the review, 10 thumbs.
Okay.
And then the body of the review just says, these guys suck at video games. That's fair.
They don't know that about me.
I think we've painted a pretty accurate picture.
Oh.
I just noticed that the review account is called Joel Dusha's Left Nut. And as far as I'm aware, my left nut didn't actually write that. So there's an imposter out there.
That's crazy. That is the nut I'm missing.
Also, you guys aren't bad at video games. You guys are just bad at talking about video games.
Exactly.
We're also sometimes bad at video games.
Yes!
Exactly!
Exactly!
There's too many video game genres now. That's the problem.
Yeah. I miss when it was just be a guy.
It's just like action adventure or a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Or Mario.
I miss when it was just Pong.
Yeah!
I get Pong.
Pong.
The flattest game of all.
Pong flat.
One 1D number. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, all right.
What's a 1D game?
Like a text-based one?
Oh, yeah. That's the only D in that is your imagination.
And the review to bring us home, 5 stars, 7 thumbs, possibly my podcast of the year, and that's from Esky.
Oh, thank you, Esky. We're in the running. I like to hear that.
We're in the running. Thank you, everyone who wrote us a review. Thank you, everyone who emailed us. Mm-hmm. Best of luck, Beth Culver, with your
laser eye surgery.
If the doctor stops operating because they've seen what you're listening to, we're sorry.
Yeah, that's how bad.
And
hope you don't have to smell your eye being burned back
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Whoa.
Burning your eye back on. And thank you so much for joining us, Andrew Levins, who is very TikTok famous. So where can we find you? Levins online on TikTok.
Yep, Levins online on TikTok and Instagram and all the other social platforms. And I also do a podcast on the Sans Pants Network called Hey Fam every single week with my good friend Angus Truscott. And this week, the episode is about the new David Fincher movie, The Killer. And also we saw Paul McCartney, and listeners of Thumb Cramps will know that I bought tickets to that show while recording the last episode. Whoa. I did of Thumb Cramps. So officially, my review of that show is Thumb Cramps canon, so you have to listen to this.
That's
week's
a good
Hey
point.
Fam.
And also, while you're checking out Hey Fam and Levins's TikToks, check out one that Levins posted a couple of days ago when you're listening to this of his Son of the Mask merch collection, because Son of the Mask came up on Thumb Cramps last week with
Pete.
Yeah,
that's true.
So it's all tied together.
It's all canon, baby. It's all canon.
Yep.
Son of the Mask is...
Sans Pants is a flat circle.
Yes!
Or flat Toba.
Flat Toba, baby! We're back!
Flat Toba?
I mean, Flat Vemba.
Flat Vemba, whatever
we're calling
dude.
It. No 3D November.
You want me to remember what it's? If you want me to remember what it's actually called, call them something not fucking stupid.
I will never
forget that.
I have to commend you both on the theme song for last month, though. The What If Movies with the Game. I was actually quite upset that I didn't do an episode.
Yeah.
With that theme song,
it was a beautiful theme song.
What if you just kept that as the Thumb Cramps theme song, like forever?
Well, I had some bad ideas for December and what the theme song for that would sound like, because I have all of the recordings of all of the themes we used for this year, so... Yeah.
What are they all going to sound like?
All of them at once?
Oh, yeah! Maybe. All back to back, so then the intro for every episode goes for multiple minutes.
And it ends with that insanely, like, obtuse clip of audio from the fishing game that Jackson likes. Which kind of sounds like Cats.
It does!
There's crabs in that!
I should get Cass to record that.
That's
anyway,
a great idea.
Before this turns into a second episode of Thumb Cramps,
let's do it. Let's go. Never forget what Dusha rubbed from you, listeners.
A second episode of Thumb Cramps.
Yep, that's true. You took that from them.
goodbye, everyone, and keep on gaming. And remember, stay strong. No 3D. Flat games only.
No 3D. Say no.
That's why I got a vasectomy, so I could only play 3D games for November. Do you know you can't nut after getting a vasectomy? And if you do... it fucks your shit up down there real bad.
Yeah, I've heard that it makes semen come through the stitches, basically.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's scary as hell.
Yeah.
And then you have these things called, like, hematobas or something.
Yeah.
Probably definitely not called that.
Hematoba the other day, was a Thumb Cramps theme month.
the other day, I guessed someone's kid's name, and I was like, what's your kid's name again? Ankle? It was not Ankle. It was Cannon. So shout out to Ankle. Someone named their kid Ankle.
Shout out to Ankle, shout out to Mod, shout out to Uncle, shout out to Andrew Levin, shout out to you listeners. Goodbye and see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.